was in step one. It was observation and interpretation and application. Observing is more than just looking at a thing. The key word comes into studying, doing it like a detective, seeing what it's saying, paying attention to it. Strong focus on it. So the first step of Bible study is observation. Psalms chapter 5, it says, what do I see when the psalmist prayed, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law? Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is a beautiful chapter in Psalms. It's the same chapter that says, you know, my son, you are cleansed of the word. And each section talks about, you know, keeping the law in your heart, keeping the law in your heart. And so right here it says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things in thy law. So it's a little bit, we're going to talk about reading in a minute. The next line in the second paragraph says, what makes one person a better Bible student than another? And what it says next? He can see more than the next two words. That's all. So now, the difference between being a mediocre Bible student and an exceptional Bible student is being able to see, being able to see more, seeing into this word, seeing what the word of God says, seeing beyond just faith, seeing beyond just what's particularly written right there, but seeing, you know, of course, I always inflect the Holy Ghost in this because seeing what the Holy Ghost is saying about this word. And so a good Bible student always sees more. The next paragraph, the bottom question says, why can this person see more than I do? Why have they gotten much more out of the past? And it says, the difference between you and the other person is the difference that Sherlock Holmes was fond of pointing out. You see, but you do not observe. A lot of people see the word. A lot of people see the word all the time. You know, devil see the word. You know, look at it. Yeah, a lot of people are looking at the word. But it didn't say, this book lost another part of the mouth of doubt to meditate, then that thou mayest see to do. It says observe for a reason. The difference between observing and just seeing. Now, we're going to talk about reading in a minute. And I know when I was in school, man, I used to be reading stuff, and I'm supposed to be studying. But I was just kind of looking over it, and I was trying to conquer the chapter. My father always told me, he said, son, you got to stop reading the books trying to conquer them. Who are you trying to prove something to? Oh, so you want to say you read 3 books this year? So you feel good about yourself, want a pat on your back? It's not about how many books you skim through the year. How much did you learn? You can read 20 books, but if you don't observe what's going on in there and you don't take it to be able to apply, now realize you cannot get interpretation, nor can you get the application until you've got observation down already. All right? So that means you can't understand until you observe. So you can't even put it into action in your life until you understand. So it starts with observing. Everybody say observe. So now we're not just looking, we're not just seeing, we're not just looking at this word, but we're observing the word. Almost when I look at the word observe, I'm thinking about it like a microscope. We got a microscope down in one of our little rooms down to one of our storage rooms. And you put whatever it is, put the specimen under the microscope and you observe to see what it is. You're looking at it closer. You're looking at it to the point to where it's magnified and to where it's bigger to you. You see what I'm saying? You're not just glancing over it. Just at a glance, our human eye is not strong enough to see some of the things that are in some of the things that the microscope is showing you. All right? Observing. We're observing. Also, the observing takes a little time. You can see something. You can read over a thing. But observing takes some time to ponder and to meditate and to sit there with that word. What that really does, it gives you time for the Holy Ghost to kick in and really enlarge that thing in your life. Enlarge that thing so you can see it better. But if you're just skimming over the word, and you're just looking at it, and you're just seeing the word, not observing it, you'll never get everything that's supposed to be inside of it. This next page, on page 52, I like the first line, you underline it, says, the ability to observe is a developed process. You don't just wake up observing. You ain't born observing. You develop this process. It takes time. One thing is people don't want to spend time in studying the word. They don't want to take the time to really get into the meat of the word. We're in a McDonald's generation. We're in a microwave generation. We get it all hot when we want it. We get fast food. You go in there, you want a burger, you get it. You have it your way. If it's too long, they say you get it for free, right? Right? And so they look, quick food. You put it in the microwave dinner. Don't take no time. But you really cook a meal, Thanksgiving, praise the Lord, right? You had a good Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. When you're really trying to cook this food right, it takes a little time to deep fry that turkey. It takes a little time. I got in the kitchen a little bit. I ain't do much. I ain't even talking no noise. But I got to take a little, but it take a little time to get this going. You don't just get this in 5 minutes. You know, the bell ring on the microwave and now you got something. No. You got to spend a little time in that kitchen. You got to sit there and you got to watch that thing. And you got to pay attention to it. It takes time. One of the main things about observation is time. You can't skip it. With the things of God, you just can't skip it. You're going to have to spend time with the Word. Father, I always tell me this. He said, son, you know, you can read this stuff, you know these scriptures, and you feel a little small, whatever. He said, but you cannot bypass the time that you have to spend with this Word. It's observation. It's the ability to observe. It's a developed process. I like this next story, and we'll read it. Louis Agassiz, and I hope I'm saying it right, the renowned 19th century naturalist of Harvard, was asked on one occasion, what was your greatest contribution scientifically? His answer, I've taught men and women to observe. I like the story said, he used a fascinating process to do that. He would place a malodorous fish on a dissecting tray, stick it beneath the nose of a freshman, and command, observe this specimen, and write down everything you see. Y'all with me? The student would start out enthusiastically, writing down 20 or 30 things. Meanwhile, the professor would disappear until the next day. When upon returning, he would ask, how are you doing? Oh, I saw 37 things, the student would boast. Wonderful, the master would cry, continue to observe. Y'all see that? And the student would think, man, I see everything there is to see on that fish. But since the professor told him to keep at it, he'd go back and look more. This process would continue for 2 weeks, nothing but looking at the fish. So you want to go out and do all this preaching, do all this other stuff, but look at the fish. I'm going to read something in a minute, but we get these scriptures and we know, you know, quote a scripture, quote one right now in your head. You know your faith scripture, John 3:16, you know the ones you know, and you know them, so you done got familiar with them, so you think you know them. There's more in that scripture than you can understand. But you get familiar with them and you think you've seen everything. How long you been saved? How long you been going to church? And so we tend to think, the Bible talks about no man can do this more highly than you have to think, but think sober. You start getting drunk of that word because you think you know more than you know. You start getting beside yourself. And so you say, well, I haven't seen everything they got to see. How can you ever say about the Word of God that you've seen everything you got to see in? You know how deep this word goes? Y'all remember, Lost My Shepherd? We did it earlier this semester. One of my cousins, we got a little revelation about one little part. Y'all remember that? Y'all act like y'all forgot y'all remember, huh? That's y'all favorite scripture. Grew up with it, didn't you? Now we got some revelation off of it. Because it's deeper. I'm being through tonight. I didn't practice that before, sir. I'm going to practice that. We're going to get on the date. No. Right, I said, well, let's take one. We took the Lord my cousin, and the Lord started talking to us because we were taking time with the Word. And we get the Holy Spirit the option to say what He want to say about it. I didn't jump up with my thoughts on what I thought about the Word, because my thoughts don't matter. I got to have the mind of Christ on it. I got to have His thoughts. And so it says, the process continues for 2 weeks, nothing but looking at the fish. Nothing but looking at the fish. Underline that nothing, the process was nothing. 2 weeks, the process was nothing but looking at the fish. Now, we didn't look at the fish, and then we cut the fish, and then we went on to, no, look at the fish. You ever seen the Karate Kid? Anybody seen the movie? Remember Wax On? Wax On? You remember that? Wax On, I thought it was a crazy thing. When I watched, I was a little kid and I watched it, I didn't know what was going on. This boy trying to whoop this dude. Why are you making him wax this car? Wax on, wax off? I don't get this. I don't understand. This old man a fool got me out still waxing the car. You need to show me how to knock somebody out. That's how we feel in the Word, huh? You need to be showing me how to preach. No. Wax on. The next thing you know what you got to do? Wax on. You know what you gotta do next day? Wax on. And wax off. And then when your arm gets tired, wax on. And wax off. You bored yet? Wax on. Wax off. But it's gonna be that day when I need to use that motion. And y'all remember the movie, right? And you remember he's not even like a time now, right? He's walking towards this stuff and he remembered that wax off. And it built stamina in that move. You know, and enabled him to do what he had to do when the battle came up. To keep him from losing. Passing the fish for 2 weeks. Nothing but looking at the fish. You see, the difference in the professor was his awareness that the basis of scientific inquiry is the process of observing. And the same is true for good Bible study. The same is true for good Bible study. Underline that. The same is true for good Bible study. Let me spend some time. He was just, I want you to get into your head. Get what's going on. He was looking at the fish. You get bored, you be asleep. Professor Walker pulling you, you be asleep. You get quit, man. This is tougher. Come out of this class. Can I transfer? He don't know what he's talking about. He got me looking at the fish. He's supposed to be teaching me how to preach. You don't even understand that all that's in the process. All that's in the process of you learning how to get close to God. It ain't about preaching. Your preaching ain't nothing if you don't know him. Your preaching ain't nothing if you really don't have a grip and are really not taught. See, one of the things about what about good ministry is when you find somebody that can really minister the word, they really love the word. When you find somebody that the anointing comes across that word and starts pounding in your heart, and we know somebody like that, the apostle, but he really loves the word. You know, it's not so much that he loves preaching or he loves, you know, being in front of people. It ain't about that so much. He really loves the word. And so God knows because he loves his word, then I can use him to deliver my word. You see, it's nothing else but that. It's nothing else but love. So he spent time with it. What you do with people that you love? Nah, you just talk to them a little bit, you know, and all right, I'm going to holler at you. You just talk to them once a week. What you do? Well, come on. Let's talk about it. What you do with people? What you do with the people or the things that you have, that you hold dear to your heart? You spend that time, and you know what you'll do? If that person needs you, you're going to cut everything else off for that person. Why? Because you love them. You're going to shut everything else down. Don't let them matter at that moment. You are zoomed in on what that person needs. Why? Because love causes you to do that. So now, it's the hardest thing. And we've got to develop a love for this word to the point to where we want to observe it. We want to study it. And it's a developed, instead of just not, it's a developed process. You don't just wake up with it. I promise you don't wake up with it. I guarantee you, you don't just wake up with it. And he goes on to talk about investigation and how we said it earlier about investigating and find out what's the details. A chapter is kind of like a study through the verses. Y'all can read it on your own. Read all that on your own. I won't go through that. Chapter 7, you must learn to read. What time is it? You must learn to read. When it goes down to the beginning of the second paragraph, I suggest two reasons. Talk about how you dig for gold or you're looking, but you don't really hit. And it's like two reasons why you fail to hit payment or you fail to hit gold. First, you didn't know how to read. What? You don't know. What you mean I don't know how to read? I've been reading since second grade, right? What you mean I don't know how to read? I didn't tell you that. Second, you didn't know what to look for. And he goes on to talk about this next paragraph. It goes down. It says, the media of our time are movies, television, and the internet, not books. As a result, unlike our forebears of just two generations ago, we don't know how to read. To a large extent, we have lost the art. Now, I didn't just say this. People just don't read no more. It's not about black people, to be honest. Black people don't read no more. Like, just be honest. But the people in general don't read. They text more than anybody. I text too. I ain't gonna lie. They text more than anybody else. You can't read nothing they text because they ain't writing in regular English. Because I was talking, I got two young guys I'm mentoring now. They come every day with me. And I sat them down today and made them read. I said, you need to read. What's the last book you read? And he said, oh, man, you know, I read a lot. Or what's the last book you read? Because you don't read, so you don't know nothing. You can text the mess out of a phone. You can Instagram and Twitter and all that, Twitter, Facebook, all that, but you just don't know no information because you don't read. And a lot of times, reading, watch this, reading the Word of God, we talk about observation, right? When I talk about reading, you don't know how to read. Well, I do know how to read. I know how to pray, right? That's how we feel, right? A lot of times reading the word has less to do with just skimming over those words and just knowing what A and B spell, right? It's more than just knowing what those letters spell, but it's actually getting the essence of what was going on. That's when you read. Otherwise, you're just skimming over it. We think we read. Or we think we read. Oh, I can read. No, you're not reading. You must learn. Let's learn how to read. Let's skim over this, though. Let's skim over and skim over the chapter. You ever read something? You ever just went over something and you don't remember nothing you read? Huh? We do it all the time, man. How to read it up. Boom, 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 boom. We read the whole sentence. How hard is it sometimes when you read the book and you got to concentrate? Or you got to read it and you got to go back and read the paragraph again? That's when you read. That's when you read. A lot of times, you don't get it on that first time. Nobody does. Ain't nobody, I love y'all brain, I think y'all real smart, but ain't nobody got no mind like that. So when you read it one time and you got it, no way. You got to go over that thing again. Probably again after that. This is when you read. So now, we got to relearn how to read. If it's the largest sin, we have lost that art. Then the first sentence in the next page says, and yet the Bible is a book, which means it must be read to be understood and appreciated. Remember, the Bible is a book. Sometimes we spiritualize and we make it a note, it's a book. So we have to be able to read to understand it. Next paragraph, the writings are, we're talking about the Messiah now, Jesus, right? On 11 different occasions, Jesus said to the most well-read people, at this time, use your imagination. Remember talking about using your imagination and reading? Remember, think about he's talking to the scholars. He's talking to the people that were doing this before him. Most well-read people of this time, have you never read? It's almost an insult, huh? You ain't never read the scriptures before? Of course they had. They spent all their lives reading, but they didn't understand what they had read. So what is the point of reading if there's no understanding? So if there's no understanding, are you really reading? What is the definition of reading for? We thought it just sound the words out, huh? Tomorrow, right? We think it's just sound the words out, now you read, right? No. It's a lot deeper than that. If there's no understanding, you're not really reading nothing. If there's no understanding, you're not really reading. You're glancing. You saw it, but you ain't looking at it. You saw it, but you ain't observing. Because there's no understanding. And the Bible says, and all that getting, you what? So that means that everything we do, we got to do some reading. That means I got to read to get some understanding. If there's no understanding, I'm really not reading. On 11 occasions, Jesus asked him, have you never read? That means you ain't never read. They ask you a question, but you ain't read it. Clearly, you couldn't have read it because you don't understand. How many times you read the Bible and they said, I think Jesus said, you love me for my commandments. And he started talking about that. And he made it real clear, real plain. It was in red writing. And then the disciples said, well, how are we gonna do that? He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Then he explained the same way, different words, but said a whole other way. Because they wasn't understanding. Because they wasn't reading into it. Flip over to page 69, some things the page, next page over. Last paragraph on the right says, learn to read it for the first time. You see that? You see that section? It's often that familiarity breeds contempt. You see that? I've heard that statement before, huh? Familiarity breeds contempt. Well, when it comes to the Bible study, something else familiarity breeds is, what is it? Ignorance. The moment that you come to a passage of scripture and say, no, I know that one already. I got that with Jesus. You're in deep trouble. That's when you're in the most trouble. When you become familiar with this word because you know a few scriptures. Preachers got that problem. Preachers, you've been in church a long time, got that problem. It's the hardest thing when you're preaching to get somebody else, like when you're ministering to people, it's the hardest thing to come up with a scripture that they know. You almost don't even want to tell them, go to John 3:16. Because in their head, they've already quoted, forgot the little word again. I know that one already. And now, whatever the revelation is that's coming forth, they block it out with their old crazy thoughts already. Because they think that they know. We think that we know. And so, one of the most difficult things in ministry is doing that and getting people to dump the ball and dump what they're thinking and hear the revelation that you're coming with. Because people get familiar with the scripture. The devil's familiar with the scripture, y'all. You remember when he took Jesus up in that mountain? Yeah, he was quoting scriptures. He was quoting out the scrolls. It was not until Jesus said, it is said, that something different out of the written. That he was able to leave. See the difference? So the moment, I know this already, you're in deep trouble. Instead, I'll underline the whole section, you need to come to every text as if you've never seen it before in your life. And the next sentence says, this is quite a discipline. It involves cultivating a mindset and an attitude towards the Word. Remember, we were talking about approach last time we met, right? And we talked about how we approach the Word last time. So how do we approach the Word? Do we approach the Word like we know it all already? Or do we approach it like it's a new person and it's a new introduction every time we meet? It's a hard thing to do when you're doing it every day, but it's possible. I know this in my connection with my apostle. You know, he's my apostle, but he's also my father. But I cannot be familiar, because the moment that I become familiar with him, then I can't receive what he's got to impart to me. Same way with this Word. So I cannot approach his Word like we've been friends already. We've been knowing each other for 20 years. No. You don't know me yet. That's the Word say. The Word say, you don't know me. You don't really know me like that. And so I have to approach the Word, even when I do get a revelation. I gotta approach the same Word like I ain't never talked to it before. How you ever had a first conversation with somebody? Huh? You had a first conversation with somebody you just met? You know, you start the conversation, you know, you start asking, you know, where you going to school at? You know what I'm saying? Okay, well, how many brothers and sisters you got? Like, dating. You meet somebody new, now you ask all the important questions, right? Well, you go to church somewhere? What you believe in Jesus? You start asking all these different questions because you don't know them. You just met them, and so now you're probing. You're probing to get answers. The same way you got to approach the Word every time. It's new every day. It's new every day. You go to that same scripture that you meditated all week long, and then on that Friday, God hit that thing with something new that you ain't never seen before, and then after that, he'll show you something new in that same scripture later on. That's how deep this Word is. You cannot exhaust this Word. He was talking about, you know, people reading, I think it's an old page over, saying books you can read. You know, when you read it, you become an expert in it. And so you read the book, never read a book, and figure out what it was trying to say, and you put it on the shelf, you didn't pick it up no more. You ever read a book like that before? You read the book, you figure out, put it on the shelf. You're done with it. Why? Because I got it. Right? So see the Bible like that. The Bible ain't made of that. There's no way to be an expert in the Bible. You can't do it. You've always got to study and search His Word. And it always got to be new to you. And you can never become familiar with the Word of God. The moment you become familiar and say, oh, I know this, is when you're in trouble. That's when you're about to get a block. Always approach the Word like it's brand new. Always approach the Word from a fresh perspective. No matter how much I quote scripture with all y'all in here all night long. Y'all want to quote? Let's go. Let's play the quote game. I'll quote one, you quote one. I take turns. You quote one, my turn. You quote my turn. We'll quote scriptures all day long. That don't matter. You got to approach that Word like it's new to you. And so God can give you something fresh in it. This next part, page 71. Read the Bible as a love letter. Yeah, I ain't got no time to do that one. So, you're dismissed.